Welcome to That's a Chunky. This is Kevin. I'm here with Jared, King of the Slams, as always, and James, who actually does not live in a hotel anymore. Welcome, guys.
Hello.
Welcome. Hey, guys. Hey, yeah. Guys. Look down.
Oh, I just ruined it. Just stepped on everything. But before we jump in, I do want to talk. We talked last episode about sending our deluxe That's a Chunky magnets to support a move to premium like dial pad software. So I did want to thank the people who pledged. It's only three people, but they all pledged more than they needed to. So I think we're on our way. It's Rob Yapel, Willow Williams, and Matt Kummel has sponsored us for a while. So I just wanted to thank all three people sincerely. For those of you who want to support our move from a totally illegitimate podcast to a semi-legitimate podcast, you can email me at figureoutwhatyoudo@gmail.com. That's with no spaces in between, by the way. So we're here today. We're actually going to start, while we're waiting for season three, we're going to sort of check out some other Robinson.
Season three? No, just kidding. Go ahead.
No, before season three.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some other Tim content. I don't know why it took us so long to get to this, because it really does feel like an extension of I Think You Should Leave, but we're going to talk about, there's a Chicago Rats sort of sketch comedy. It's really only three sketches, but it's Tim, Mike O'Brien, who you all know from Calico Cut Pants and Saturday Night Live, Connor O'Malley, who is, you know, like the third or fourth person in the line of succession for I Think You Should Leave. And all the sketches, I believe, were directed by what's called Matt and Oz, which is Matt Villainous and Oz Rodriguez. I think Jared, you're itching to go on this first sketch from the Chicago Rats.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Drop some narrative for us.
Yeah, the sketch, I believe, is called Look Down. I feel like I need to describe it to people who probably haven't seen it, but the gist of it is Tim is an office worker and Mike O'Brien knocks on his window of his office or outside his door and keeps motioning for him to look down, and his penis is hanging out. And then Tim gets very distraught in a way that only Tim can get. At one point he writes a diary, dear diary, I saw a dick today, or I saw a penis today. There's a lot of great, like, just moment. And like, it's an I Think You Should Leave quality sketch. Like, it would be like in my upper echelon of it. It's so fucking funny. Connor O'Malley is like his office worker. A couple great scenes, the first of which where he's like, why don't you just go home? And Tim's like, I don't think you have the power to do that. he's like, I've already sent several people home. Like a guy in the office.
It's really funny.
It's so funny. And then he's asking, well, why do you keep looking down? And he's like, well, I don't know. Like, maybe there's a cool dog or something. And then that sets up a final scene, which I was cackling at this on my phone, and then I popped it onto the TV screen earlier today at my house when my wife and I had a friend over, and like she's not the biggest fan of the show, but she was cackling at that sketch, and then like fast forward like 3 hours, we're just like doing something for dinner, and she's like, you know, I didn't like that they put the dog penis in at the end, and I was like, what? but the gist of it is the final scene is there is a cute little like stuffed dog, and then he points down and he has his seemingly human dick hanging out. But
well, and the dog,
my wife is not a fan of that.
It has to be said that the dog is wearing pants.
Yeah.
Because normally a dog's penis would be out.
Perfect. Shit, you're totally right.
It's a very like M. Night Shyamalan twist at the end, where like right when you're expecting, you know, nothing good to happen, the dog happens, but then the dog has his own pants. It's just the double twist ending. It's really quality. James, what are your thoughts on the sketch?
Yeah, I thought it was very, very good. I mean, like you said, I Think You Should Leave quality. Yeah, I think the way that Mike O'Brien kind of like the second time around, he's kind of like pointing down and Tim is like looking at him like, no, I'm not going to look down again. And Mike O'Brien's like, no, oh no, it's not that. Like, no, no, just look down. And I also like the idea that like the guy standing at his office door is like far enough away that Tim clearly could see what's going on, but he repeatedly only notices that the dick is out when yes. he like looks from his face down, like as if he can't see that every time. I thought that was funny. I like that he's on a, in the montage of like seeing the dick over and over again. You can see Tim's on his computer on a website that just has a very, very big text that says, so you saw a dick and it ruined your day.
It's, it's Yahoo Answers, which is the funniest thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think the sketch itself, the setting and the like idea of like someone telling you to look at something when they're standing right in front of you. And then also just the, you know, Mike O'Brien being in it and also Connor O'Malley being in it is like very, there's some fingerprints of what would become Calico Cut Pants like later on which is also funny. And I think there's even like a point where like, I don't know, I forget if it's in like the montage of Tim seeing the dicks, but they like has like a freeze frame on him kind of like screaming and the sound carries, but Tim's like contorted, like upset face is there. And I feel like that's like similar to some editing that kind of went in some I Think You Should Leave sketches. So it definitely felt like a little bit of like a, yeah, sort of proto I Think You Should Leave. Which is great.
So I'm going to get a little autobiographical here.
Please.
I sort of grew up in like a working class inner city, and I went to a private boarding school. So it was obviously a big shift. And I think anyone who I've ever told that to, most people are like, oh, wow, must be not, you know, that must have been great. And it's like, on some levels, it was. On a lot of levels, it was. But what happened in this sketch would have never happened in the inner city I grew up in. However, at the private boarding school I went to, like, this was their type of shit. The 15-year-old children of the ultra wealthy, at least in the time I grew up, were kind of fucked up. It definitely brought me back to some times that were just a little confusing, but also the sketch was very hilarious. I think the first time he gets sort of victimized before he writes in his diary, Tim just goes, I don't know if I could do this, Tim, but it's like, he's like, they turned my world upside down or something like that. And I just think this sketch is like generally a precursor to how good Tim's acting is.
Oh yeah.
He has some sort of like arm flailing.
Like he's pretending to beat up. Like,
and at the end he kind of has his arms crossed in front of him. And I just like you know, like part of me watches something like this and I'm like, I can't believe, you know, Tim wasn't like put on the front lines faster. But then also I'm like, he kind of was. Like, clearly there are a lot of people who thought he was talented, like including Lorne Michaels. And he's just like, he's I think a really brilliant comedy writer, as we say, but like you wonder if he wrote these sketches and gave them to people who weren't as good acting, they might not be as fun. I don't know. I mean, they'd probably still be pretty hilarious. I think Connor's like first appearance, I think, is really great.
Why don't you just go home? He's like, I don't think you're the power to do this.
Yeah,
just, yeah, like, it's funny.
I don't know, it's,
It's yeah, funny seeing like, Connor O'Malley playing like a very like kind of straight man character too, because he's like,
yeah, I know.
In most appearances is the opposite of that, but he's basically just like kind of straight faced and like, yeah, yeah, very dry.
But yeah, just an awesome sketch. I think, yeah, I think one day we might really have to do like season one, season two, season three characters and Chicago Rats and just go. Yeah. In order. It's gonna be brutal. Hate mail is gonna be crazy.
I know.
Yeah. We can like put the links to these in the show notes? Is that a thing we can do to make sure people can watch them?
We can link anything.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, I think I guess one other thought on this sketch was I like the there's like a point early on after the first time where Tim is kind of like thinking about it and he's going to eat a sandwich and he has to put down the sandwich because he's like so distraught over the whole thing. I thought that was really good. Also, I guess, so the timing of these, I was kind of trying to look that up. It looked like these were made after his time at SNL or maybe like while he was sort of at the tail end. And they're like produced by, I think, a production company called Above Average, which it looked like is affiliated with like Lorne Michaels, like some thing. So it made me wonder if like these were sort of like a way of getting Tim a little bit like some other like reel of him kind of showing off his writing and acting to sort of try to springboard him off of SNL on like a soft landing or something. So I was kind of trying to figure out like where this, cause it was, you know, it's just these three sketches. And then I think it wasn't that long after this that he was kind of, I think he wrote for like Seth Meyers and then like had the characters and stuff. So trying to like piece this into his kind of filmography or whatever and career arc, but it's kind of interesting. It's like definitely more polished than some of his like sort of pre-SNL stuff, which is interesting.
Yeah, it looks like Mike O'Brien was off SNL at that time too. He was there from 2009 to 2012, and then he did Chicago Rats in 2014.
And I think Mike O'Brien was always featured, and if I remember right, he was not on frequently because it was almost jarring. He had this like recurring sketch where like he would be in an I think he would actually call it the autobiography or something, and it would be like Jay-Z. I can't remember who else he did.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But they were really talked about this. Funny, yeah. I know, I'm trying to remember what the other ones he did was, but
oh, I screwed up. The IMDb thing was confusing. So he was still on SNL as a writer during this period. He was there from 2009 to 2016.
Yeah, and I think Aidy Bryant, who we'll mention, she was also on it, SNL then.
There is a show called Above Average Presents.
I just went to that, and it was just, I just stumbled upon the fact that Casey Jost is on it. And I'm like, this is kind of funny. I didn't even know Colin Jost had a brother.
Oh, I do see Casey Jost there.
Yeah.
The show that I think this kind of goes into the next sketch, but AP Bio, have you guys seen that show?
I haven't.
So Mike O'Brien's with it. It's 42 episodes, I think. And then Shelley Gossman, who is in the porn sketch, which we can move to, I guess, she's the executive producer of it. So,
no kidding.
And she's a creator of Chicago Rats. So, might need to check out AP Bio.
Yeah, I think it's reviewed really well. What my wife always tells me, she also tells me, what's the other show that's supposed to be in a school setting that's supposed to be really funny?
Oh, I like that show.
Abbott Elementary.
Elementary, yeah.
My wife always just tells, I'm always like, I think I'm going to check that out. And she's like, it's good. Like, but it's like, she's always gives me wink that like network TV, there's like a height to it. And instead, you should just watch like, you know, Always Sunny and things like that. But I don't know. I'm not hating against it, but
I've watched occasional episodes. I'm not like a diehard or anything, but it has that kind of like warm comedy, like a Ted Lasso, like a Joe Kelly type show where, you know, where it's like warm, but also funny. And it definitely generates that pretty effectively.
Yeah.
So AP Bio has one of the guys from Always Sunny.
Glenn Howard.
Patton Oswalt is in it.
Yep.
I mean, I might give this a shot.
Dang. I mean, like, it can't be that bad with just those two in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Paula Pell's in it as well. If you guys are familiar with her, she does a lot of work with, like, Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
Yeah, yeah.
She's really funny. Yeah, and the creator is Michael Patrick O'Brien.
I know.
Which is amazing.
All right, this so, is yeah. going to become an AP bio.
All right, watch it. Let me know. All right, so episode two is Condo Nights. A big part of me wonders whether it was written or improv. We know Tim writes everything. Has a very strong improv feel to me.
Yeah.
Although I think sometimes Tim's writing gives the feel of improv. I don't know. James, do you want to explain the plot of Condo Nights? Not much there.
Yeah, it's a pretty basic setup. Basically, Connor O'Malley is a director, and Tim Robinson and Mike O'Brien and Shelley Gossman, is that right?
I think that's her name, yeah.
Yeah, so they're sitting on a couch, and basically they're going to be in a porno, and so Connor O'Malley is kind of like giving them initial directions, and he just says that the way he likes to do it is that they just make up a few lines and then they get straight to the sex, and they're like taken aback at the idea of kind of ad-libbing their lines and not having a script, and they're like very confused by that, so then they keep trying to record and they keep on making up lines to start, and it goes awry in various funny ways, either like them not being able to think of what to say, or saying things that kind of ruin the plot. So like the first example is that the woman is like, asks if they want to do it, and Tim's like, oh, I can't, I have a big business meeting. And she's like, oh, thanks for the reminder. I actually have a business meeting too. Mine's in a skyscraper. Where, what kind of building is yours in? And Tim's like, a skyscraper. And then Mike O'Brien asks if he can go to the business meeting too. And Tim says, no, son, you can't. You're too young. You have to stay here with your mom. And that's when Connor O'Malley cuts the scene. So there are various iterations of kind of things like that, where they're kind of making stuff up that like doesn't work, and Connor O'Malley, the director, is getting increasingly frustrated, and it goes, and then eventually like they kind of get mad at him and just ask him to tell them something that he says before he has sex, and he's like, I don't know, I can't think of anything, I'm a virgin, and it cuts to sort of like a real, or is it not real world? What's the True Life? Like an MTV True Life kind of like title card screen that's like I'm the virgin porn director. And then that ends the sketch. So, but I think that like you mentioned, a lot of the feel of it, and also just the story, is that they're like supposed to, you know, do improv to come up with their lines. And so the feel of it is them kind of trying to improv, but like having no idea how to do it, and fixating on like the idea of skyscrapers comes up several times throughout in weird ways, and also there's an element of them trying to like do something creative and doing it in a weird way, like for example in one of the takes, Mike O'Brien runs in from off screen and he says, I wrote the line down. Let me make sure I get it right.
They're trying to hate crime me.
Yeah, he says, guys, you got to help me. I'm a Mexican guy and 10 racist whites are chasing me. They're trying to hate crime me. I think I got a minute, though, if you want to do it. And he starts unbuttoning his pants.
He starts unbuttoning his pants.
So just a note on Skyscraper. I mean, I think most people have never thought of this. I've been unlucky enough to be around of many intellectuals, but like many people consider skyscrapers to just be like a monument to the phallus, right? So the fact that they're saying it is not totally disconnected from what they're trying to do. I also want to throw out this note. YouTube comments get a lot of disrespect, but there's some gold in there. I believe this is a comedian named Dave Koval or said, you can tell this is from 2014 because he's actually discouraging the family stuff.
yeah, no, that's a good point.
Which I thought was pretty funny.
I was going to make a comment about that too, because like I've heard that porn is going in a direction of like step kids and heard. Like, just I don't know. One of my kids told me. I don't know. Shut up.
Jared's mic cuts out.
Yeah, no. Like, stay at home with your.
Your audio is really cutting.
No. Please. Yeah, it's crazy that that's like that killed that scene. Oh no, it's not at all like because I'm uncomfortable. It's just a technical issue. I actually thought this. Can you guys not hear me?
We can hear you now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. God. I thought Skyscraper was like the highlight of the whole like.
It's funny. Bit.
Like, especially at the end where he's like, "Okay, you can only say 8 words before the sex," and then they say like, "Hi, how are you?" And then they're like counting with their fingers, and then they had two. They're like 2 words left, and they're like, "Skyscraper, let's go!" And then it's just. I loved it. I didn't go the like sort of phallic route, but I kind of thought it was just like kind of these like dumbasses trying to think of a way to sound successful. And sure. Like having a business meeting in a skyscraper is like the ultimate success you can
yeah,
have
totally.
In your mind.
Like, yeah, skyscraper is a cool building that like it's cool to go to and see and stuff.
Yeah.
Also,
go ahead.
She asks, are you super hard? And Mike says, I did another porno this morning. I'm exhausted. And Tim goes, no, I'm thinking about my kids.
He's like, oh, you got kids? How old?
And he does his. You can only hear it from him. But I got to steal this. I don't know if you were going here, James, but I'm pretty sure the line of the sketch we haven't said yet. There's one. Connor, I think Mike asked, what floor of this tall castle are we on? But I think at that point Connor says something like, you can't do that or something, you can't do that in the sketch, and Tim just says, Baz Luhrmann bends those rules.
Yeah. Connor cuts it because he's mad that they're trying to set it in like a castle setting, and he's like saying like, you know, you're clearly in the present day, you're wearing modern clothes, you just had your cell phone out, and Tim's like, Baz Luhrmann bends those rules. So good. That was really good.
And I think that's kind of like a little like I think you should leave thing is like a sketch has a very strong vibe with like one line that doesn't fit in the sketch, but it really kind of works.
Yeah, like a little one line that just like pops in and doesn't affect anything, but is very funny. It's like definitely a very I think you should leave thing. But this sketch was the one that resonated the most with me and was like I think the first time I was watching through, I was like. In tears with laughter and like shaking laughing at it. I don't know what about it is so good to me, but I think like there's a point where they're doing castle accents and Mike O'Brien is about to jump in and all he can say in the castle accent is ooh, and then he has to say time out, I can't do the castle accent. I don't know, everything about all of the takes of this were very funny to me. And it felt like, yeah, it definitely has some, I think you should leave qualities in the humor for sure, but it definitely also feels like a little bit like a different structure and like style of sketch than I think you should leave stuff. But still very funny.
It's almost that like, I feel like I think you should leave is going more to like, there's observers who are from the logical world. And in this sketch, there's nobody is, I mean, like Connor's the closest we can get, but it is revealed in the end that he doesn't have any sort of credibility. So,
yeah, definitely.
All right. We have episode 3, dressing room montage, which as I'm about to talk about it, I kind of wish I could like watch again. I feel like this is going to have some real watchability for me. Who wants to give a brief synopsis of a lot more happens in this sketch. Who wants to give a synopsis of dressing room montage?
You want to do it?
I accidentally just, I stabbed myself with this like paper cutter thing. So I'm trying to do a little quick.
Are you okay?
It's okay. No. It's fine. I'm fine. It's on a finger. Yeah. I have a small flesh wound on my thumb. All right, you guys keep going. Keep going.
All right, going. James, I guess you get to describe it.
Okay, so it's again Tim and Mike O'Brien, and like Mike mentions that he has a date, and Tim's like, "You're not gonna wear that, are you?" And so and Mike's like, "Well, I don't know." And Tim's like, "Come with me," in like a very kind of sitcom-y tone, and then they go into a clothing store and basically the whole sketch is a play on the sort of trying on different outfits coming out, and then like Tim's kind of like, you know, trying to give him advice and help him pick out the right outfit for his date. And the outfits get increasingly absurd, and the people working at the store get like more and more kind of like confused and a little bit annoyed at the process, and eventually it kind of takes like a left turn where after some very absurd outfits, the woman who's helping Mike O'Brien try stuff on is played by Adi Bryant, and she mentions like, you know, is this even something you would wear to a date? And Mike O'Brien is like, "Oh, my date, I completely forgot." And it says, "Oh, I have 12 missed calls. It's 3 a.m. Wow, I missed by a lot." And so then the left turn is like he and Adi Bryant have sex in the dressing room, and then he comes out and admits to Tim that he killed her, and then that he can't go to jail. I don't even know what you wear when you go to court. And then it, like, they look at each other and have this knowing expression that like, "Oh, now we got to try on more clothes for your court appearance." So I think the humor of it is heavily in the sort of mocking the like classic trope of trying on clothes at a fitting room with your friend, and it plays out in a sort of classic I think you should leave humor way. Any thoughts, you guys?
Yeah, the big thing for me is I think the basically every outfit ends with Tim saying no, probably right, like yeah. 10 or 15, and to me Tim's reactions are just really funny. Like he's, he's just sort of like, he nails like every reaction that's ever happened in movie history, and like the way he has like little flourishes on it, and I think it's funny.
Yeah, I agree. He goes subtle, through this sort of like. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no! The subtle thing in it for me. Issues I think on this episode, but God, we got to get that premium. We got to get the premium dial pad, guys. It's essential. I think I love the interaction he starts to have with the male clerk outside, where the guy's just kind of like looking at him, and then I don't know, there's like this just like weird sense of like awkwardness between them, and he's like, I don't even think most of these clothes are from our store, and then I don't know, and you know, it's like 3 a.m. and he's just like getting kind of pissed off that Tim is still there trying on clothes with his friend, or his friend is trying on clothes for him. But it wasn't as like laugh out loud funny as I think the first two, but it's sort of one of those like slow, awkward burn sketches, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. I think definitely the humor, there was a little bit of humor. A lot of the humor is sort of mocking that kind of like trope of trying things on. But one of the parts that I liked was like shortly after they start, you know, he starts going in and out of the changing rooms. It, instead of just doing the classic montage of just cutting between him walking out in outfit after outfit, it actually shows like him struggling with the hanger in the fitting room, and like the montage music cuts out. So it's just sort of like showing what's actually happening between montage clips, including Tim kind of like just sitting there in the waiting room, like staring around and like playing with the little tufts in the cushion of the seat that he's on and stuff. It's like, I thought that part was like a little subtle, funny, like mockery of those kind of scenes where it's like, you know, when you're watching the movie of trying on dresses, it's like the person's coming out like 1 second after another and dress after dress, but you don't see the like slow waiting around time of the whole process. So I thought that was like a little funny addition. Yeah, I think like the also the sort of like mocking the increasingly outrageous outfits, sort of like, I think that's like part of the humor in the normal version of those kinds of montages, but this was like kind of a little over the top, where like Mike O'Brien's coming out in, you know, like top hat and three-piece suit, and then followed by like coming out in, you know, like a tank top with like a absurd kind of like someone who'd be in the Dangerous Knights crew outfit, whatever.
Got a lot of looks. Got a lot of looks, yeah, in the sketch. Jared, we're gonna recreate that next time I'm in Chicago.
Yeah,
I'm taking you shopping.
Mag Mile, I assume.
Does Structure still exist?
I think it's gone. That used to be my, like, that was like the store in high school when I was in high school, but
same. I couldn't do it though.
People loved it. I couldn't do it, really. Yeah.
And it just wasn't my vibe, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are we going to come back with next? I want to go where you guys want to go.
We can do a Detroiters detour a little bit. Did we talk about this? The scene where Connor O'Malley, the episode where he's his brother on that show, and they're like, and he's like going to go work with him, and like Connor's like, he has like a Slipknot mask, and he's like, put away, like, why do you need a Slipknot? And you can tell they're both like on the verge of breaking the whole time. That scene is so fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like where he hits the dresser and he's like, that's the dresser from when you were a baby. You know, it's just like they keep building on each other. It's so fucking funny. I just pop that on sometimes, just like it does it for me every single time. It's a fucking great scene.
Yeah, let's shoot for episode one of Detroiters next week.
Let's do it.
Love it.
Maybe I might even make like another podcast name. Like, and it will be in the That's a Chunky channel for sure. But like, I don't think there's an official Detroiters podcast.
There is now.
I'm just thinking of the sketch for me when fucking our boy Andre Bilou, aka Tommy Pencils, is up on stage and freezing when he's supposed to do his freestyle rap. D2 right. I might literally need to record my 6-year-old's reaction to that scene, because it's every time it's funny. So like, she just loves Tommy Pencils. Anyway, all right. I think.
Oh God, I forgot about like the dad, like his father-in-law. That those episodes are really good.
Really good.
Man, fuck.
The one where they're at like the function. I can't even remember what's going on. But yeah, the like, I think it's either an anniversary or birthday party for the father.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
That's a great episode. Yeah, let's do it.
And the finger is okay.
Yeah, I've created like this like weird like wad of notebook paper to stop the bleeding.
Classic.
It was so dumb. This is what I imagine people did before Band-Aids happened. I was playing with one of those little like wrapping paper sliding cutters where that fucker is sharp. And so I was fucking around with it. And then I broke the little plastic, and then the metal piece just like went right into my finger.
Oh man.
It's okay. I'm fine. I'm going to be okay.
I feel like this podcast sucks. Just literally turned into I think you should leave sketch. Like we're talking about a sketch. I'm like, should I dial 911 or some shit? You're like losing blood on the other side.
There was quite a bit of bleeding, but I'm fine now. I've managed to get it back together. But yeah, it was not.
Yeah, we just crossed the fourth wall, I think.
Yeah.
Skyscraper.
I have a couple of small notes from the Twitter. I think you should leave world to squeeze in here at the end. Couple things is a couple of apparently kind of well-known sports athletes.
Adley Rutschman.
Adley Rutschman is apparently a huge I think you should leave fan, and the official MLB Twitter account tweeted a video montage of him, like I guess in a workout, referencing a lot of I think you should leave sketches. So that was exciting. And then on the NFL side.
Yeah, it's great. It's great.
Also on the NFL side, Joe Burrow, Bengals quarterback, there was an interview where he was wearing a regular t-shirt, but then on the shirt is a picture of the Dan Flash's shirt. So it's a little bit of a weird shirt, but he's apparently, and I think you should leave fan
too. It sounds more complex.
Yeah, it sounds like a very complicated shirt. But
don't
yeah,
say
so
it's not complicated because it is.
Yeah, it must have cost him a fortune, but I guess he's making enough NFL money to afford it.
Yeah, they also get per diem.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't eaten in days.
Shows up for a game all week. That's WEAK, and yeah. He's I could barely stand up because he hasn't been eating.
Yeah,
I like where that's going.
I think he actually lost the AFC Championship game as we were recording this, so maybe he did not eat enough.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, it happened literally as we started recording.
Yeah.
So maybe if he had eaten with that per diem.
That's true. That's probably why.
James is going in his tweets with that.
Let's see. One other thing. I have two other notes very quick because we're running low on time. There's been a coffin flop sketch, behind the scenes angle of one of the flops from Coffin Flop has been floating around Twitter, and people keep posting it thinking that it's a real where a person fell out of the coffin. But I'm really trying to track down like where there is behind the scenes footage that we can like potentially find out more of. And then I also saw, a great account, I think you should affirm, they're on both
Love
Twitter
them.
And Instagram.
Huge fan.
Yep.
They posted a screenshot of, I guess, asking ChatGPT, the like AI bot for I think you should leave sketches, and one of them that there was a lot of them, but one of them that actually sounded like could have been a very funny sketch was the description. It's called The Funeral, and the description is, the sketch features Tim Robinson as a man who becomes obsessed with finding the perfect casket for his dead father, even as the funeral service is taking place. And
to me, that sounds like
actually a very, very funny and very, I think you should leave sketch.
All right. That's amazing. We'll talk more next time. That is us.
All right. Signing off.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That's a Chunky has always been supported by the Etsy shop of Swayzine, Swayzine. In the past, you've seen his amazing motivational posters, his at the Nighthawks diner featuring characters from I Think You Should Leave. You also know his vintage jazz posters of Paul Bufano, Marcus the Worm Hicks, and Mookie Kramer. Swayzine has a ton of new items in his shop we wanted to let you guys know about. Those three jazz posters have been turned into attractive t-shirts. The Marcus Hicks in blue, the Mookie Kramer in green, Paul Bufano in white. He has a very affordable Bozo the Clown clown pewter sticker that you can put on your computer. There is a Baby of the Year bib and onesie. He has Angels and Archways t-shirts, as well as two new posters, one featuring Dangerous Knights, which is being framed and put on my wall, and an amazing portrait of Brian from the hat sketch, the insider trading sketch. But the whole point of me re-recording this ad was to tell you about maybe the most innovative I Think You Should Leave product I've seen in my time doing this podcast, which is actual Dan Flash's shirts. So this isn't like a t-shirt that says Dan Flash on the front. This is a short or a short sleeve polo or a long sleeve collared shirt that has the pattern Tim Robinson is wearing in the Dan Flash's sketch, affordably priced at $30. I know when I went to the Dan Flash's stores at the Creeks, I spent $800 out the door and didn't eat for a long time, saving my per diem. But if you go to Etsy.com/shop/Swayzine. Again, Swayzine is Swayzine. You can own these shirts yourself. And we want to thank Reggie from Swayzine for his support of That's a Chunky.